my Bible and the notebook. Give my Bible and
praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace, love, and mercies. Thank you for your blessings that you have released into our lives. Thank you for making all things work together for our good. Thank you, Lord, for fulfilling your promises in our lives. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for doing your will in our lives and situations. Thank you for honoring your name, for glorifying your name in our lives. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for your presence within us and around us. We thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Thank you for guiding us and leading us by your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for the things we have learned from you through these Bible study classes. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for the grace. Thank you, Lord, for the grace you have given to us to do those things you have opened our eyes to see in your word. Thank you for giving us grace to do your will, to obey your word, to obey your commandment. Thank you, Father. We ask that as we will be looking at your word again this evening, O Lord, minister to our hearts in Jesus' name. Help us to grow in the knowledge of you. Give us more revelations of yourself and of your will as we study your word in Jesus' name. Let your Holy Spirit take over this meeting right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. We're going to continue from where we stopped during the last class. We stopped at the topic. The topic that says warning against the wrong attitude. So now we're moving to another subtopic that also has a lot of topics under it. So I don't know if I should call it subtitle. Yeah, and that is point number 8. The one we just finished with is point number 7, which I call work and employment. That is how Christians should relate to work and employment. Now, we are in point number 8, and there are also other points under this point number 8. There are many other points under this point number 8. So, this point number 8 says, the work of pastors, full-time Christian workers, and missionaries. The work of pastors, full-time Christian workers, and missionaries. So we want to know the work of this category of people, pastors, full-time Christian workers, and missionaries. Yeah, we need to understand their work so that we'll be able to know what is our responsibility as Christians to this category of people, pastors, full-time Christian workers, and missionaries. So today we're going to be looking at a topic that says the compensation of pastors and teachers. The compensation of pastors and teachers. That is, how do we compensate these people for what they do in the church, in the body of Christ? Let us look at the book of 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 9 verse 7. First Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 7. First Corinthians 9, verse 7. It says, Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Who planted a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the meat of the flock. A New Living Translation says, what soldier has to pay his own expenses? What farmer plants a vineyard and doesn't have the right to eat some of its fruits? What shepherd cares for a flock of sheep and isn't allowed to drink some of the milk? Yeah, so we can see here that Apostle Paul was talking to the Corinthian church about his right to receive a compensation from them, or his right to receive financial support, if I can put it that way, financial support from them. So here he was saying that soldiers don't go to war at their own charges or at their own expenses. So if soldiers are to go to war, the government have to send them into war. So all the expenses have to be taken care of by the government. Yeah, by the nation, the country they are fighting for. All the expenses, the weapons they will use, and the food they will eat, everything. Yeah, even if they spend months on the battlefield, they have to go with enough provisions that will sustain them for as long as they stay on the battlefield. Yeah, so they don't work for those provisions. The country that is sending them into battle provide for all their needs. So in the same way, the church is responsible for the provisions of people that deal with the church business or the church missions. There are people that are busy doing God's assignment. Yeah, so the church is responsible for such people. Because these are the people that is making sure that the purpose of the church lives on. So these are the people that are making sure that the reason for the church establishment continue to be fulfilled. Yeah, so the church is responsible for these people. And you might be asking, what is the purpose of the church? Why did Jesus planted the church? Why did God establish the church? You're going to see that in Acts of the Apostles. Acts of the Apostles. Okay, no. Though he's also in Acts of the Apostles, but let us look at Matthew. Let us look at Matthew first. Matthew. Matthew 28. Verse 19 to 20. Matthew 28 verse 19 and verse 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, if you look at it in New Living Translation, it says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Yeah, that is how New Living Translation put it. So we know that the mission of the church, the assignment of the body of Christ, is to go and make disciples of every nation. Of all the nations. Yeah. And to teach those new disciples everything that Jesus has commanded, everything that Jesus taught. So the mission of the church is to make disciples, to teach those disciples. And that is what pastors and teachers do. Yeah. Also, if you look at Acts chapter 1, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, I'm going to read verse 8, Acts of the Apostles. Chapter 1, verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in all Samaria, Okay, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Yeah, so this is the mission of the church. To be witnesses of Jesus. That is, to preach everything that we know about Jesus. And to teach everything that we know about Jesus. And everything Jesus has commanded us. That is the mission of the church. Yeah. And there are people that are among us in the church that have made this mission their life assignment. I don't know if I should put it that way. There are people in the church that have made preaching the gospel and teaching the gospel their life assignment, their life business. That is, they have dedicated their entire life and their time to doing that, to preaching. They have dedicated their entire life and their time to preaching the gospel and to teaching the gospel so as to make disciples of all the nations as Jesus has commanded. So these people that are among us, they need to be compensated by the church, by us. They need to be rewarded by us. They need to be taken care of by us, by the church. Yeah. So that is what we are looking at today. The compensation of pastors and teachers. So we are going to look at that verse again, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. First Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. It says, who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the meat of the flock? Yeah, so God have ordained it even from the Old Testament days that his servant should also feed from the altar where they serve. God have ordained it that his servants feed from the work they do for him in his temple, in his house. Yeah. So who are God's servants? We already know the pastors and teachers. And where should they eat from? We already know that also. They should eat from the same work they are doing in God's vineyard. So, which means the people they have dedicated their time to teach and to preach to and to disciple those people should bless them with material things, with physical things that they need. Yeah, so it is already ordained by God in the Bible. There are many other verses that talks about this. Yeah, many other verses. Let us look at Galatians. Yeah, because you need to know these things as a Christian. It is very important so that you are not guilty in the sight of God. Let us look at Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. I believe you are also opening your Bible over there. Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to read verse 5 and verse 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 5 and verse 6. Galatians 6, verse 5 and 6. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. New Living Translations are put it this way. For we are each responsible for our own conduct. Those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Yeah, can you see that? Those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Yeah, this is the word of God. Now, it went further to say, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Yeah, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Yeah, so you don't need to wait for a pastor or your pastor to tell you to come and sow a seed before you sow. This is not something that somebody just devised in his mind. This is the word of God. Yeah, it says those that are taught the word of God, they should provide or communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. They should provide for their teachers, share all good things with them. So that is the standard of God. So we're not supposed to be waiting even for God's servant to ask for material things before we provide those things to them. Yeah, except maybe you feel like this pastor has not been a blessing to me. I've not really learned anything from this pastor. I mean, from your pastor. Yeah, or from your teacher, the person that God has been using to build you up spiritually, to train you, to disciple you, to help you spiritually. If all the time you have been following that person, listening to that person, you feel like, oh, I've not gained anything. This person has not really done anything. Or he or she has not contributed anything to my spiritual life. Then, fine, maybe he doesn't deserve your physical support or financial support. But if this person, this pastor or minister or servant of God has really done a lot of work in helping you spiritually, in teaching you, in training you, in discipling you, and you refused to be a blessing to him or her financially, you refuse to give or provide for his needs. Yeah, you refuse to give physical things or material things which includes your money. Then you have failed God. And you have failed the word of God. That is, you are committing sin. You are violating God's law. You are disobeying God's word. And that is it. Yeah, so it is not until a man of God start saying, as you can see, or he said, brethren, I'm suffering. I need help. That is no way you should give. Yeah, in fact, it is your shame if the situation of your pastor come to that point where he have to tell you either from the pulpit or tell you personally that he is suffering and he needs help, which the Corinthian church did to Apostle Paul. When he needed help, they did not send anything. Yeah, many of those churches, they made that mistake. You can read them in the letters of Apostle Paul. Yeah, you see the same thing in Philippians. Yeah, of course, I've just read to you in Galatians, and this is Corinthians. Yeah, go and read those letters of Apostle Paul, you will see him talking about this same issue. And in some of those places, like in Corinthians here, he was correcting them. He was rebuking them for not doing what is their duty. Yeah, because it is their duty to actually provide for the physical needs of Apostle Paul and the team and the people that are working with him. But they did not send those needs, and sometimes they send it very late. Yeah. And sometimes they don't even send anything to support him at all. Yeah, so the point is, it is our shame if it comes to the, if it has to come to the point where our pastors will start to ask us for financial support. It is not the shame of the pastor, it is your shame. Yeah, because it shouldn't come to that point. Yeah, it shouldn't come to that point. We should have helped before it comes to that point. I don't know if you're getting my point. Yeah, we should have provided for their needs before they will even come and announce, or before they will come to you that they need help. So we should have discerned and then provided for them. Yeah. So it is not when the minister start to tell the congregation or the church members that we need money, we need people that will sow into the work of God, people that will sow a seed. It is not at that point that we should know that we should give. So we shouldn't wait to that point before we give. Yeah, I realize that many people in the church are failing in this responsibility. Yeah, we are seriously failing in this responsibility. And God is not happy at all. I remember some time ago that the Lord was telling me how he's angry with the church because the church are not taking care of his servants. Yeah. And then he was telling me that even the 10% is becoming difficult for Christians to even pay their tithe. Yeah, to even give 10% of their income. Yeah, he was telling me that why is it so difficult for Christians to pay even the 10% of their income. And they know that the tithe is to support his servant. That the tithe is to take care of his servant. And yet they are not paying the tithe. And they want his servant to continue to do the work he has called them to do. Yeah, and these are the people that will go to the servant all the time. Man of God, woman of God, please pray for me. And yet, they can't even pay their tithe. Yeah, so the Lord was very angry when he was talking to me about that issue at that time. And he was showing me why he would not answer the prayers of many people in the church, because they are not taking care of his servants. Yeah. So anybody that is telling you to not provide for the needs of your spiritual leaders, people that God is using to guide you, teach you, train you, disciple you spiritually, that person is an antichrist. And that person is an enemy of the gospel. Because there's no way the gospel will prosper in the head without provisions. It's impossible for the gospel to prosper in the head without material provisions, financial support. It is not possible. Yeah, and these provisions will not rain down from the sky. It has to come from the church. I've read it to you from the Bible. Yeah, so that is, this is one of the reasons why you will not see me condemning some men of God that have to keep telling the people to sow a seed. Yeah, I will not. You know, it will be wrong for me to be mentioning the names of those men of God and saying, this person is not of God. Yeah, of course, many of them, they are wrong with the way they try to monetize the gospel. Yeah, but I don't blame some of them. I blame the church for not supporting God's ministers. Yeah, of course, I'm not trying to justify that what those preachers are doing is right. But if we look at it, they are not the only one that are guilty. Yeah, the church is also guilty. Yeah, though it is wrong to place a charge on the gospel or to place a charge on spiritual gifts. Of course, I have taught on that a lot. If you look for my teachings, it is actually wrong to tell people to give you some amount of money before you pray for them, or before you bless them with your spiritual gift, then you ask them to pay some amount of money. And it is wrong to ask people to sow seed before they will receive a miracle. That is also wrong. Yeah. But what the church is doing is also wrong. Yeah, though doing those things is wrong, those ministers are wrong, but I cannot blame only them. I also have to blame the church. Yeah, because if the church really is doing what they should do, some of these ministers would not be tempted to go into that thing. They will not be tempted to start placing a price on the gospel. they will not do that. Some of them will not. Though, of course, some will still do that. But there are those that will not do that. If the church have not failed. Yeah, so before you just open your mouth and start blaming, or condemning pastors that are known to monetize the gospel, to place a charge on the gospel, before you blame them, ask yourself if you have really been doing this thing we are talking about tonight. Yeah, because God will not spare you also for not doing your responsibility as a Christian. Yeah. So that is why I don't talk against any man of God, whether they are real or fake, whether they are genuine or not genuine. I don't do that. But I will talk about whatever they are doing that is wrong, but I will not mention names. Yeah, because it is God's, it is God who judge. God is the judge, not me. And in fact, Jesus said, we should not judge. Yeah. He said, if you judge, you also will be judged by the same standard. You are judging another person. I mean, the same standard you use to judge another person, God will also judge you by the same standard. So Jesus told us to not judge anyone. Yeah. So I will not mention names of this pastor, that pastor, that is doing what is wrong, but I will teach you what is right. So that when you see anyone doing what is wrong, you'll be able to know and you'll be able to avoid the impact of the sin of that person. You'll be able to run away from such ministries or churches and stop following such pastors. When you see that what they are doing does not agree with the truth or with the standard of God. So I will teach you to be able to identify. Yeah, I will teach you to be able to identify the truth from the false. Yeah, and then you will now make a decision whether to embrace the truth, whether to follow the truth or not. But I will not mention names of any pastor. Yeah, because God is the judge. Yeah, and also because many times we are also guilty of the same sin we see in the lives of some pastors out there. So many times we are also to be blamed. So like in this issue of giving, a lot of Christians are to be blamed. A lot of Christians are to be blamed. Yeah, to be blamed. Because we have failed God. We have failed God. Now, let's say that you're supposed to be paying your tithe every month. You have not done that for the past 10 years. Or for many years you have not done that. Or for many months you have not done that. Yeah. Do you know that you really need to ask for mercy, because it means you have also compiled God's judgment upon your life for months and for years. But those times you failed, God will not be happy with you. Yeah. So the reason why God is not answering the prayers of many Christians is because they are not doing this thing we are talking about tonight. They are not faithful in supporting God's servants, God's ministers with their finances. So God also decided to not answer their prayers. More than 60% of Christians just need to do this thing and they will prosper. Yeah, I mean more than 60% of Christians all over the world, they just need to do this thing we are talking about tonight, that is to start to give to support God's servants and ministers that are busy doing His work every day, every night. They just need to do that and they will prosper without praying any special prayer or fasting. They just need to do this and they will prosper. Yeah, so this is our duty. So you don't wait for the church to announce or for a ministry to announce that they need something before you do something. It is wrong to wait to that point. It is wrong for your pastor. I mean, it is wrong for you to wait until your pastor starts asking for financial help from you before you support him. And to really help yourself or save yourself in this area, make up your mind that for every income you get, 10% goes to the church. Be faithful with paying tithe. In so doing, God will spare you when is God will spare you, that is, God will withdraw His judgment from your life concerning this matter. Yeah, since He knows that you are faithful in paying your tithe. And the tithe is actually meant to support God's ministers. That is what the tithe is meant for. Yeah, of course, it's not only tithe that we give. We also give much more than that. But at least start from 10% of your income. And then God will help you to give more. Yeah, praise the Lord. Let us look at another scripture. Don't forget our topic once again says the compensation of pastors and teachers. We are also going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar, are partakers with the altar, New Living Translation puts it this way. Don't you realize that those who walk in the temple get their meals from the offerings brought to the temple? And those who serve at the altar get a share of the sacrificial offerings? Verse 14. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. In the same way the Lord ordered that those who preach the good news should be supported by those who benefit from it. Can you see that? Those who preach the good news should be supported by those who benefit from it. That is how New Living Translation, the NLT Bible, puts it. Those who preach the good news should be supported by those who benefit from it. So don't think that you are doing your pastor a favor when you bless him. You are obeying God's commandment. So which means you are doing yourself a favor, not the pastor. So don't expect some special attention from the pastor because of the things you are giving to him. Don't expect some special treatment by the pastor or some special gratitude that you have to thank you in a special way or appreciate you in a special way because you gave something to him. No. Or should I read this place for you again? This is the word of God. Is not something from human perspective. Let me read it for you again. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13 and verse 14. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. So now let me read those two verses from this other translation. Don't you realize that those who walk in the temple get their meals from the offerings brought to the temple, and those who serve at the altar get a share of the sacrificial offerings? In the same way, the Lord ordered, that is, the Lord commanded, in the same way the Lord ordered that those who preach the good news should be supported by those who benefit from it. So it is the standard of God. So when you obey this standard, God will bless you. You are doing it for God, not even for the man of God or for the pastor or for the teacher. You are actually doing it for God. So it's an obedience to God. And your reward will come from God, not from the pastor, not from the servant of God. Yeah, so don't think you are doing anyone a favor. You are actually doing yourself a favor. Yeah, because if you fail to support the servant of God, someone else will do it. Yeah, especially if that servant of God has learned to depend on God and not on human beings. If he has learned to do that, God will use someone else to take care of him. Yeah, so you are not doing anyone a favor. You are actually doing yourself a favor if you obey this standard. Now, let us also look at another scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Verse 17 to 18, 1 Timothy chapter 5. Okay, let me read. Let the elders, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17 to 18, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Verse 18, for the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. NLT version says, elders who do their work well should be respected and paid well, especially those who work hard at both preaching and teaching. Yeah, so I don't know why Christians don't read all these places in their Bibles, and yet they will come to the internet and start talking nonsense. I don't know if they are even Christians at all. They start saying, any man of God that asks you for money is a scam. Payment of tithe to a church is a scam. I don't know if you have seen people talking rubbish on social media, on the internet. They tell you don't give any money to the church. Go and give your money to the widows, to the orphans. I don't know if you have come across those statements on the social media platforms. Yeah. So I do not see those people as Christians. Yeah, because to me, it's for them to say such things, it shows that they are not studying their Bibles at all. Yeah, it shows clearly that they do not study the Word of God. Okay, they call them keypad warriors. All right. Yeah, so we should not follow those people. We should study the Bible and do what the Bible teaches. And then we will prosper. Yeah. So don't let anyone deceive you. Of course, some ministers of God have abused this issue of financial support in the church. Yeah. But the fact that some people are busy doesn't make it wrong. Or how should I say? The fact that some ministers of God have abused this system in the church, this system of financial provisions or material provisions, doesn't mean that God has cancelled it. Doesn't mean that God has put an end to it. Yeah. And that doesn't mean that you should not do it. Yeah. But now that you know the truth, if you are going to do it, you know how to do it well. Now let me read that place to you again. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. It says, elders who do their work well should be respected and paid well. Elders here also mean pastors. Elders doesn't really have to mean, I mean, when you see elders in the Bible, they don't have to mean elderly people, that is, people that are advanced in age or old in age. Elders also refers to spiritual leaders, so who can be very young in age. So even myself, according to the Bible, I'm an elder or a pastor. Yeah, so elders refers to spiritual leaders. And sometimes the Bible also uses the word bishops for them, yeah, or pastor. Yeah, so here, Apostle Paul said, when a pastor do his work well, he should be respected and paid very well. Yeah, he should be respected and paid well. Praise the Lord. He should be respected and paid well. So when we see someone that is really doing the work well, that is someone that is following God's standard. Yeah, someone that you have studied his life, and you know that this is really a servant of God. Yeah, this person is really doing the work well. Such people should be respected and supported financially. So even if that pastor have his own job and not a full-time pastor like myself, they still need financial support. Yeah, you should bless them because they have blessed you in spiritual things. Now let me read further. It says, especially those who work hard at both preaching and teaching. Verse 18, for the scripture says, you must not muzzle the ox to keep it from eating as it treads out the grain. And in another place, those who work deserve their pay. So what does it mean to not muzzle the ox? It means, as the ox is walking in the farm, you should allow the ox to also eat as he's walking. So in those days, they used the ox. Though nowadays, they use tractor to do many things in the farm. So in those days, they use animals to plow the ground. Yeah. So the Bible commanded that when these animals are walking in the farm, don't close their mouths. Yeah, don't muzzle them. That is, don't use something to close their mouth. Let them be free to also eat from the plantation on the farm as they are doing the work. So that is how it is meant to be in the church. Those that are really doing the work well, though I know there are people, I mean ministers of God that are not actually doing the work. There are ministers of God that I consider to be very lazy because they are not actually doing the work well. Yeah, and then I also know those that are really doing the work well. Yeah, they are really doing the work well, but they are not getting support from the church. It is wrong. Yeah. I think we should stop here. If you have questions, you can ask. Yeah. If you think I have said something wrong, you can also correct me. From the scriptures. So if you are going to correct me, you have to correct me from the scriptures. Because everything I have said, I pick them from the scriptures. Yeah, otherwise we are going to stop here. So I want you to really consider all these things and make sure that you are not guilty in this matter. Yeah. And then another thing that maybe some of you might have in mind, maybe a question some of you might have in mind, is should pastors also give, should the people that the Bible says we should give to support, so when they receive those supports, should they also give out? Yeah, so that might be a question some of you might want to ask. That if we support a pastor financially, should that pastor also give from what he has received? Definitely, the answer is yes. Yeah. And I remember I have said it before. I don't know if it's here or in our midnight prayer sessions. Yeah, I have said it that when I newly entered into full-time ministry, I thought that I should only receive from people since I am not working. Yeah, I thought I should just be at the receiving end. Yeah, but I thank God that when I was thinking that thought, He corrected me immediately. Yeah, He said, anyone that will prosper in His kingdom must be a generous giver. That anyone that will prosper financially in His kingdom must be a generous giver. Yeah, so He warned me that you are expected to give even more than what the church members or anybody give to you. That is, I'm expected to give more than all of you here. Yeah. So I'm expected to give higher percentage than all the members. Let's say I have 100,000 members. I'm expected to give more than all of them in percentage. Yeah, that was what God told me then. And I thank God that I obeyed. Though I know some pastors that only know how to receive, but they don't know how to give, and they are very poor. Yeah, but God has taught me to give generously and sacrificially very long time ago. I'm not just learning to do that. Yeah, but I cannot tell you about the way I give. I have given in such a way that people actually think I work in a place and I'm earning in millions. So they thought I'm actually earning in millions because of the way I give. So they felt, no, this man cannot be a full-time pastor. No. Yeah, because they were not expecting that I would give that much as someone who is not doing a secular work. Yeah, but I know what I'm doing. Yeah, so even the pastors that get this financial support should give so much out. So they should give to other pastors. They should give to other churches, to other ministries, and they should also give to the members that I need. Yeah, and that is how they will prosper. If they don't give, they will be seriously poor. Yeah, they are going to be very poor, and they are going to suffer. Let us pray. Oh, Father, we thank you for you are so faithful. Thank you for all that you have revealed to us in the teaching of tonight. Thank you for showing us how to be blessed and how to prosper. Thank you for showing us our responsibility to your servants who are blessing us spiritually, who are teaching us and training us in the things of the Spirit. I ask, O Lord, that you help everyone here to be faithful in this commandment, in obeying this commandment. Help everyone here to be faithful. Those that are here that have not been doing this, O Lord, help them to start to do it. And those that have been doing, help them to do much more, so that you can bless them much more. Because you said in your word that if we sow sparingly, we will reap sparingly. That is, if we sow little, we will reap little. But if we sow bountifully, we will reap bountifully. O Lord, teach even those of us that have been doing this, teach us to do it bountifully. In the name of Jesus, I pray for every other member in this ministry who have not been faithful to doing this instruction that you have commanded in your word. I pray, O Lord, that you move their hearts to start obeying this instruction, so that you can answer their prayers in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for we know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen.